Hey y'all, this is Abraham, one half of the Olsen 8 podcast, and I just want to let you know we outside this summer, so that means return to sporting events, concerts, and the like. Lockdown hasn't been easy on the pockets, so ticket prices aren't looking too fun, I feel you on that. But Megaseats.com offers a solution. Megaseats.com is a third-party reseller. They stand tall on these two things. Zero service fees and free shipping, 100% guaranteed. But if that isn't enough, and this is the fun part, SSAW has partnered with them to provide you a 10% discount when you enter SSAW Network at checkout. Did you hear me? 10% off on top of zero service fees? Man, you're gonna catch me outside this summer for sure. Head over to Megaseats.com. Use the code SSAWNETWORK and plan your next outing. We outside this summer, baby!
Time it is. Welcome, yes, Volume 2, Episode 26, the OSNA podcast presented to you by SSAW. As always, it's your boy, Mr. 50%, the OSNA, joined, of course, by my guy, my brother. What's up, man? What's good,
eh? What didn't happen, yo? What didn't happen? I'm good, though. I'm good. Shout out to everybody tuning in this Sunday morning. Appreciate y'all for coming through. Man, it's been a wild, chaotic week, just both personally and, you know, professionally. But hey, we here. It's the weekend. We thank God. We give thanks.
We give thanks. And over here on the sidelines, we got Lil Oso hanging. He over here in the high chair.
Happy belated birthday, Prince Oso.
Yes, sir. Gonna give his ad libs and his thoughts at any given moment, like now.
Right. Yeah. He's like, I'm celebrating. What's up, y'all? It's my birthday. What's good? It was my birthday, but still, because y'all now finding out it's still my birthday. What's good? What's good? Yeah. That's what he said.
He's a, yo, we gonna celebrate all week and we might celebrate all month just for y'all. Crazy. You wanna sit up here and start getting the Christmas celebrations going already? No. Y'all need to chill. But y'all, Let's get to it, because you said we give thanks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, we hit 5K, bro.
5K, 5K.
We hit 5K.
In less than 2 years. Remember that, in less than 2 years. Less, and that's where all the hiatuses years we took, especially this year. This year we ended up, you know, having to step away a lot just because of there was a lot going on in both our lives, you know, and we just couldn't really link up successfully and consistently like we wanted to record. But honestly, we gotta show extreme gratitude to our fans for just sticking it out with us, because I mean there wasn't really any form of communication. That's something I gotta work on for real. There wasn't any form of communication that like we would be on a hiatus or we'd be missing an episode this week. They just stuck it out with us, so we appreciate y'all for real. We do. And don't worry, we're gonna change that up.
Y'all been rocking with us. We appreciate it. Man, I do think as well, when I look at, let's see, in year two, we're in year two of this journey, right? And yeah, when I look at some of the tweaks that we've made, when I look at some of the, man, that's a great idea. Let's just roll with it, right?
Yeah.
I think, what is it? Volume two for us has been games of the week. And I think that's been gold. And we appreciate y'all love for that as well.
And we were able to bring back Baba Funke too.
That's it. That's what I was about to roll into. Like, we were able to bring back Baba Funke and Mr. Watson. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's been a beautiful thing. So, man, we thank y'all. We do this for y'all. We appreciate y'all. And here's to the next 5K.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have a special announcement. for those, and also this is actually a special announcement for you too. I will be back in Jersey this month. I'll be at Anime NYC, which is the weekend of November 19th to the 21st. On Sunday, November 21st, I will have some new Osa and Abe merchandise. You know, if all my East Coasters, if you're going to be there or you're in Jersey or New York, just hit my line. You might have an opportunity to get your own exclusive merch. It's very limited because, you know, Cuzzo, Shop Dilly's, we're trying out some different...
Madame de la Peau.
Yeah, we're trying out some different styles, some different colors. We're getting fancy with it. So I'm going to have a limited stock, about 10 items total. And I don't mind giving away a few. So for those on the East Coast, hit my line. I will be home for the holidays. Really only for Thanksgiving. I'll be back in Cali for Christmas. So, but that means that January we can expect our official launch, which I'm excited for. For real, for real.
Doing it new in 22. Let's go, baby.
Ooh, I like that. I like that. Doing it new in 22. Okay. Okay, I like that.
We here. Man, I'm excited for it. You know what I'm saying? We know we had to push back the merch launch by a few months. Not a few, but 3 months to be exact. But it's all good. We are excited. So y'all, if y'all on the East Coast and you happen to link up with the man, Abe over here, do that, y'all. Get your merch. You're not going to regret it. I was actually just rocking my hoodie this week. Had to do it.
I got my crew neck. I low-key wish I had a hoodie because I like hoodies. But, you know, I'm going to get myself a hoodie.
You know, it's a whole vibe. It's a whole vibe. Listen, y'all, let's dive into it, though. I had to take a sip of my iced coffee before we do this because
same.
Listen, y'all, it's been a week.
Which one you drinking?
Bro, I got some. What is this? So here's a life hack, y'all. Life hack. I'm just gonna tell you a life hack. All right. There's two quick and easy ways to make iced coffee. One, because I'm a little bougie, so I'm a French press kind of guy. So my French press is a I have two French presses. The larger one that I use is an aluminum one. It'll keep your coffee hot for a few hours. But any unused coffee, I just throw that mug in the fridge. Next day, pop some ice cubes in there. Throw my little oat milk in there. There's my iced coffee.
Right.
Or, you know what I'm saying? I end up at work events and stuff. And sometimes in the office, you know, they'll buy the big old things of either Starbucks or like Panera or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'll take the leftovers home, throw them mugs in the fridge, pop some ice cubes in it. So today I'm sipping on some Panera dark roast with a splash of oat milk and a new discovery, Planet Oat, oat milk brand. They make a oat milk creamer. Oh. I got their caramel flavor.
It sounds like Oso is not filling up oat milk, you know. He not rocking with it. And I don't blame
him. Now, my man needs a pacifier. He needs a pacifier. What you sipping on, Abe?
So, I got my shout out to Cover Zero and their sponsor, one of their sponsors. I Am Wise Coffee. They have a caramel trust. So I copped the grounded caramel trust. And, you know, I like when I make my coffee, I make it in this filter pitcher. And
then those are on point.
Yeah, I throw that John in the fridge because at this point, that's how I like to drink my coffee. I like to drink it cold.
Same.
You know, I put in a little bit of almond milk, definitely some ice, and that's what's got me going this morning for sure. Because, you know, Sunday Night Football, Rams versus the Derrick Henry-less Titans. So,
that's scary.
I'm up and alert. Yeah, it is. Shout out to Cover Zero again. For those who want to cop this coffee, head to Cover Zero.
What's the company again?
Head to Cover Zero. I Am Wise Coffee. I am wise, as in the wisdom that this OSA podcast grants to its viewers and listeners and supporters. CoffeeCo.com. That's the website. You can use discount code COVERZERO, just the number zero, COVERZERO. For more information, head to COVERZERO today.
That's right. We rip the family over here. SSAW takeover, baby. Let's hop into the Wahala, though, bro. Oh, Abe, where do we want to begin? This was literally a week of straight Wahala.
Yeah, let's start with the NFL, bro, because that one had a majority of the wildness, but...
Oh, that's how the week kicked off, as a matter
yeah,
of fact.
Yeah, that is how the week... We
gotta let's talk about it. We haven't had... Okay, I take that back. John Gruden. But if you really think about recent history, there hasn't been, like, a lot of trouble to talk about when it comes to the Las Vegas, formerly Oakland Raiders.
Yeah, because when... And, you know, people are going to be like, well, what about the AB situation? What about the Mac situation? The Mac situation was, like, a business decision, not really, like, you know, off the court drama. And the AB situation, I mean, that was just AB in himself, you know? Fortunately, now he's got it together, it appears. I mean, he has a Super Bowl ring now, so he big chilling in Tampa.
My man is chilling.
Yeah, but the John Gruden situation, the crazy thing is, it's just like, it's not, it has nothing to do with the Raiders besides the fact that he was their coach at the time, because all that drama came from before his time with the Raiders, you feel? But this one, unfortunately, and I just gotta say this, I don't like how people are using this situation to be a reflection of the Raiders football team, because by doing that, you're ignoring the history of the Raiders and how progressive of a team they've always been under Al Davis. And, you know, while Mark Davis isn't as vocal and charismatic as his dad was, the culture remains the same. And so for those who are listening, you probably also listen to Cover Zero, so you heard them talk about it. But we're talking about the Henry Ruggs situation. It was their bye week. He's out on the road, Rainbow Road, which is sounds so dope, you know, because I think of Mario Party, but I'm not here.
Facts.
Yeah, right. He was driving this, I believe it was a Corvette. It was a beautiful Corvette. 156 miles per hour on a residential road. However, his blood alcohol level was over twice the limit. In addition, he had his girlfriend and a loaded gun in the car. He crashed into a compact SUV, killing a young woman, and I believe her dog was injured too. My heart goes out to the family of the woman who was murdered. It's a terrible situation. It really is, and I'm so bothered by the idea of drunk driving. I mean, if you I'm not saying you shouldn't drink, by all means drink, you know, but don't operate a vehicle. I mean, he told officers apparently that he didn't think he was drunk, bro twice. I like to drink. I love me my tequila. I do. I actually had some Casamigos the other night. I know when I'm drunk. But I also know, like, if I even take a sip of alcohol, I ain't touching a vehicle. And I sure as hell ain't getting in the car with someone who has drank. I don't care if you drink at, like, 5 o'clock and we're leaving at 7. Nah, B, I'm cool off that. Because alcohol affects everyone differently. You know, not everybody can consume the same amount and be affected the same way. Henry Ruggs made a fatal, tragic mistake that is going to follow him for the rest of his life. That's a guilt that will sit in and permeate his life forever. But what we will not do is fault the Raiders for this. We will not curse the Raiders for the actions of an individual, because it's not the Raiders who told him, yo, drunk driving is acceptable, because that tells me that you don't know anything about the Raiders. There are two players currently on the Raiders who have endured, who have suffered addiction and have recovered. And they're two really talented players. Darren Waller, a top three tight end, has recovered from substance abuse and he's balling. You know, his numbers are kind of low now because defenses are like, yo, we got to double, triple team that man. Like, hey, that's how fearsome he is. Before, the top tight ends were Kelce, Kittle, healthy Gronk. Then last season, Waller made a name for himself. Or no, 2 years ago, he made a name for himself. And people were like, oh, yo, who's this Darren Waller kid? The kid who's bounced around the league a couple of times. He was with the Ravens, you know, before he got cut because of relapsing and whatnot. He's with the Raiders now, and he's been a pillar of his community. He's been doing the damn thing. And then, you know, another person? Someone who's putting together an all-pro season resume? Killer Max. Max Crosby. That man, I think, he's had a DUI or two in his life. He's been behind the wheel when drunk. He's definitely recovered, and he reminds himself every day. Like, when you watch Raiders game, I think he has it written on his cleats or on his glove or wrist. To always remind him, like, yo, that's where I was. Look where I am now. So don't tell me, like, hey, yeah, you know, Raiders, you know, they get bad apples. They get thugs, because that was the thing that blew me. Osan, some people were calling Henry Rugg a thug for what he did. And that's where I got heated because, oh, he's a thug, right?
Maybe they're calling him a thug because they thought it was clever because it rhymes with rug.
That's dumb as hell. That's how they're going to make light of a serious situation. But I'm going to say this and I'm going to let you go. If Henry Ruggs is a thug, Andy Reid has been raising the thug his entire life, because let's not forget that Andy Reid's son, earlier this season, killed someone while driving drunk behind the wheel. I mean, I get it. Andy Reid's son is not in the NFL. So what? It's different? Drunk driving, that leads to fatality? Y'all. Yeah, keep that same energy. I don't see y'all saying, Andy Reid, how could you raise someone who's so thuggish like this? Andy Reid, how dare you? Your son took a life. What are you doing? And then we look at Henry Ruggs and be like, you see? Look at them Raiders. Look at them Raiders. You see, just hot, drafting thugs. That's the Raiders culture for you. Boy! People who view the Raiders like that, what are the most progressive teams in the league that was responsible for hiring the first woman, the first Latino? Carl Nassib. Carl Nassib is gay. I mean, yes, we had Michael Sam, but Michael Sam didn't really, you know, play much. And whether that was because of the stigma of him being gay or because he just wasn't really that talented, I'll let y'all decide. But Carl Nassib, that boy is putting in work. He played significant time. Like, yo, don't tell me that the Raiders are just a thuggish organization that don't know what to do. You know, they just get in trouble. But y'all, nah. At that point, I'm going to just assume you prejudiced, possibly racist. That's all I got to say. Go ahead, Osan. Because if I continue, I'm going to have another controversy like that Drew Brees episode. You feel me?
Yikes. That episode might have to come out of the annals, by the way. Might have to come out of the archives one day.
Just say the word.
That might be a doing it new in 2022 situation. Anyhow, the Raiders, we know the Raiders have this reputation, and I think it's more so due to their fans than anything else. It is what it is. I mean, but they're not the worst fans in the league, right? But also, I think an undue stigma that's been placed around Al Davis, and it's as if that stigma has carried and followed the Raiders. Here's I think one of the most eye-opening things for me regarding the Raiders organization and Al Davis was after watching in NFL Films 30 for 30 on ESPN titled Al Davis versus the NFL. What was interesting about that was they used deep fakes of Al Davis and NFL commissioner at the time, Pete Rozelle, and kind of just played off of that and used that to kind of illustrate their relationship. And it was a love hate. And when the hate was real, it was real. But one thing about Al Davis that I could appreciate watching that was Al Davis, I think, ushered in an era of owner empowerment. Because prior to that, and there will always be conversations around in sports, who's beholden to who? Are the owners beholden to the commissioner of the league? Are players beholden to the owners, like all of that? And there's a moment we're going to talk about, or a recent, fresh, hot off the presses situation we're going to talk about a little bit later in this episode that I think is plays into that. But one of the things that I think was was interesting about this was to really see the heart of Al Davis. Al Davis is I think, been long painted as like this arrogant, I do what I want, nobody can tell me otherwise kind of individual, kind of character. But really, as you watch this 30 for 30, one thing you see about Al Davis is the man just deeply loved his team, and he was a deeply convictional man. And people with convictions, man, they'll go for it. And one thing that shaped, I think, the Raiders was that kind of just slight brashness by Al Davis. And you saw it in those Raider teams, and Al Davis moving the Raiders ticked off Pete Rozelle. But what it did, though, was created, like I said, a new era of owner empowerment. And so you see teams making moves. You see the Rams leave LA and go to St. Louis. You see movement of the Browns, the Ravens. Like, we see all this, the Oilers, right? We see all this movement, and some folks will say, it's bad for the league, it's bad for business. Is it really, though? Like, look at what it did for the economies of those areas. Look at what it did for some of these smaller markets that these teams moved to. Al Davis is the focal point and was the catalyst for those things to happen. And so I think some of this this reputational stuff that folks have piled on for the Raiders and have used it to continue to say, well, you know, the Raiders are all messed up, right? They're a mess, and anything that happens to them, they're messed up, I think is undue, unnecessary, and it's foul. I'll wrap with this, and we can move on to the next. Derek Carr's comments. Earlier in the week, Derek Carr's brother, David Carr, had a very tone-deaf moment on Twitter. Basically tweeted out something along the lines of, when the Raiders win the Super Bowl, it will clearly be said that no one, I'm paraphrasing, that the person who was most important to this team and in this whole process was Derek Carr. And this is literally the same day, hours after the news comes out about Henry Ruggs. And folks are like, what are you doing? So he deletes the tweet, tweets out something else, but it was still like, all right, whatever. But Derek Carr, okay? Say what you want about Derek Carr. He's a class act as a human. And Derek Carr said this in a press conference when asked about the situation. He said, I will always be there for him, talking about Henry Ruggs. That won't change. And I will prove that over the course of time to him, not to anybody else. He goes on to say, but he needs people to love him right now. He's probably feeling a certain type of way about himself right now, and he needs to be loved. And if no one else will do that, I'll do that. Listen, y'all, I don't care what you have to say about the Raiders. And this is the thing, we constantly circle back to this, right, Abe, on this program, is folks look at athletes like they're just entertainment, and you forget they're human beings and they're people. And Henry Ruggs in this situation, listen, if I was on the other side, if the steering wheel is in my hand and I'm the one who at 156 miles per hour hit somebody and took a life and just made a stupid mistake that cost somebody their life, you're going to feel real isolated. If you haven't watched the video of the situation, there's video out there. I can't watch it personally. There's just some things for me I just can't watch. It's deep. Wife was telling me about it. It's deep. And so you need people to be there for you. So before you're quick to throw stones at Henry Ruggs and call him a thug, at the Raiders organization and say that they have issues and this is a culture problem, I would say this. What would it look like for you to be like a Derek Carr? Say, man, like, if nobody else will stick by you, I'll be there for you. Because now if you still want to call Henry Ruggs a thug, what do you have to say about Derek Carr? Huh? What are you going to say about Derek Carr? He's a thug supporter. He's a thug backer. He's a thug enabler. Keep that same energy. Derek Carr, you get flowers from Osa Nape for this one. Like, I salute you. Because to show that level of love for your fellow man and for your teammate, right? Because, folks get paid to play the game. And sometimes in these relationships in the locker room, it's just, well, we just going to go out here on the battlefield and we'll just do what we need to do. But very rarely do you see this deep-seated, I'm going to battle for my brother on and off the field type of relationships. And that's what we see right here. So Derek Carr, man, I really hope that the walk matches the talk. But even just the talk alone, like, that's a big statement to make in the heat of this moment. So Derek Carr, we salute you. Henry Ruggs, really hope that you can bounce back from this in some way, shape, or form. Not just to get back on the playing field, but really just to get your life back on track. Because this is weighty, charged on 2 felony counts. And listeners, anyone who's hearing this, please, 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 in a world and in an age of outrage that we live in right now in this moment in our society, where it's quick to throw stones, where we're quick to pile on to those who are already hurting and bleeding, what would it look like for you, instead of throwing stones, to be the person to help pick the stones off of someone who's been buried under all of the scrutiny, under all of the railing that happens in our society? Yeah, outrage may be acceptable, but that doesn't mean it's the right thing to do by your fellow man.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Let's continue with some further wahala, okay? Fresh hot off the presses today. We were going to talk about this situation, and then a new development hit literally a couple hours before we recorded this. Odell Beckham Jr., his relationship with the Browns, definitely strained. His dad earlier in the week put out a video compilation of what's happened over the past few games with him and Baker Mayfield not throwing the ball at all. Like, think about this. We were all saying when OBJ came to the Browns that the Browns were going to have one of the scariest receiving cores, both wide receiver and tight end, at the tight end position as well, in the NFL. And we're watching them lose games and only really 2 players being targeted, if that. And the really one of the most explosive receiving threats over the past, 5 to 7 seasons in the NFL is being widely ignored. Huh? What? What are you talking about? So we said it at the top of the season. I think we'd said it on this program in the offseason. Like, trade this man. Y'all just trade this. Free OBJ. Trade deadline came, and we're thinking, man, trade OBJ, and it passes. So we're expecting coming into this episode today that we're going to be talking about, boy, how the Cleveland Browns have done this, man. Because most of the talk out there that I've heard are folks saying OBJ, once again, this same parallel to like the Raiders, right? Well, reputation. But if you watch OBJ's tenure with the Browns over the past 3 seasons, he has been pretty tame. Like, we haven't seen any of the antics per se. He's been a pretty chill dude. He stayed out of any sort of things that would lead to controversy. And y'all do him like this. So trade deadline comes and goes. Today, the day that we're recording this, is actually his birthday. And what's his birthday present from the Browns? They released him. Wow. Abe. Mm-hmm. Now, we wanted some moves to happen for this man. He's released. And now, because he's released, there's the waiver process. He has to clear waivers. And there are a few teams, the top 3 teams, I think, who are in line to get him off of waivers, if I remember correctly. This is in no particular order, but are the Texans, the Lions, and I think the Dolphins. Yeah, the Dolphins. We could talk about where he's going to go later, who he thinks the best option. But, Abe, this whole situation, like, what is your thoughts on this entire situation?
Odell has garnered himself a reputation of diva, his time in New York didn't really end positively. He had the incident with the net and throwing his helmet around out of frustration. They move him. One thing I do want to notice, though, is that in New York, let's not act like Gettleman is competent. Let's not act like he really knows what he's doing, because he's just been someone that we like, yo, what's going on, dog? What is this? What are you trying to work towards? But when he got traded to Cleveland, he was excited. He generally was excited. A lot of us were excited for him. New environment is always good, right? A change of scenery is always good. He really only had one incident while he was in Cleveland, and that was remember when he was wearing that 350K watch during the game? And
fam,
people were like, oh my God. It's like, well, is that, compared to what he's done before, that just, okay, he's wearing an expensive accessory. I just because we saw the watch and whatnot, football players wear chains and all that underneath their pads. I get it. They don't show it off, but I wouldn't be surprised if people had that much or close on their necks. You feel me? Regardless, OBJ this season has been quiet as a mouse. Barely saying anything, not really out there showing frustration, not yelling, not cussing, not fighting. Just been showing up to practice, showing up to games, and just doing what he's supposed to do. Because keep in mind, he's getting paid millions. I know it's about $8 million this year, $12 million next year, and then the year at 2023 is like $13 million, something like that. I know the last 2 years are probably not guaranteed. No, the last year is not guaranteed. So, you know, you can void that. This is your multi-millionaire receiver who at one point in time was a top five receiver in the league. It makes no sense how his targets, his receptions, and his yards have continually decreased. In last week's game versus the Steelers, a division game, a rivalry game, one catch for 6 yards. And I watched that game too. So don't say like, oh, hey, but you didn't watch the game. You didn't watch the game. No, I watched the game. There were several times where Baker Mayfield just overthrew a wide open OBJ. It's like, okay. Like, you can hit other people on target, but OBJ is wide open. Can't hit him. What's going on? And mind you, I've been on this platform before to say, like, I'm a fan of Baker Mayfield, you know? Ironically, I became a fan of him while he was in Oklahoma because he planted a flag on Ohio State, because I genuinely hate Ohio State. And I just don't like the state of Ohio overall like that, but I'll put my prejudice aside. So I've been a Baker Mayfield fan, and he has been arrogant, but even he himself has calmed down a lot. He's not the same loudmouth that he was when he entered the league. Now, as a matter of fact, he's just doing a whole lot of commercials. Have you been seeing all those commercials he's been doing, Baker?
Yes, sir.
Not only does he have them Heisman commercials, but the commercials where it's like, oh, yeah, you know, the Brown Stadium, that's my house, you know, like, hey, showing that he's spending a lot of time acting, but his playing is not being up to par. And while he himself has had some comments, he's like, you know, he said that he wasn't hurt by the comments from OBJ's dad, but he was surprised. And he said that it's weird that you think that I don't have a repertoire with the multimillionaire wide receiver that I practice with every day. But look, I won't fully blame Baker. I think he does hold some responsibility, but I'm looking at the coach. Stefanski, what is going
Kevin
on?
Kevin Stefanski, what's good?
Like, what, your play calling, what are you doing? I get it. The Browns are a run-first team with Chubb and Hunt. I get that. But you have a multimillionaire receiver. Why are you not using him as much as you use Jarvis Landry, who's actually been hurt for a good portion of the season, too? Why is OBJ not getting the looks? Because I'll tell you this, if OBJ was on the Rams, Cooper Kupp would be wide receiver number two. I'm just going to tell you that right now.
Fam, who needs Deshaun Jackson when you got OBJ? Can you imagine? Mm-hmm. Can you imagine?
Especially if we're paying that much money for him too. You know, Deshaun Jackson was on the low, but he's also older. You know, about 35, right? Like, I get it.
I think he's 33. 33 going to be 34. Yeah.
Okay, my apologies, D-Jax. But I get it. You know, D-Jax is known to be a vertical threat. You know, the speedster, the speed threat. And he showed it off on the first game of the season with that 75-yard touchdown. But even then, when you watch, you were like, ooh, he's not as fast as he used to be. He can still got the burners, but it lost a little speed. But if we had OBJ, boy, I'll tell you this, McVay would have made sure plays were drawn up for him to eat. I'll tell you that right now. So, Stefanski, what are you doing? And I hate that people are like, oh, yeah, OBJ is washed. How is he washed when he's not getting fair shakes? How does that make him washed? A receiver. Where do you think his dad found 11 minutes of tape from? 11 minutes of tape is a lot. That is a lot of tape. From just what? Was it just from this season alone? Or has it been the last few seasons?
I think it's the past. I think it's the past couple of seasons.
Okay. 11 minutes of tape, sir? But that's a lot of film. Truly a lot of film. And to say, oh, he's washed, when it's like, well, I have 11 minutes. And that's OBJ's dad just not. I mean, he definitely put in the time and energy. But if you ask someone from the NFL to put a highlight tape together, I'm sure they can find more than 11 minutes for sure. They could probably find you like an hour worth of content showing like, yeah, you know, this is film where OBJ did get open. He was either not looked or overthrown, underthrown, whatever. Or the ball was just not catchable. Bro, how does that mean he's washed? As Uncle Shay Shay says, free OBJ. As LeBron says, free OBJ. And I'm glad he's free. Now the question is, who's going to take him up? Because it becomes a little bit more difficult given that contract. You know, winning teams would want him, but can they afford him? Losing teams, like, you know, what's the point, really? You feel me?
Man, I'm glad they freed the man. News did come out today, though, that there was a short, brief conversation right before the trade deadline between the Saints and the Browns. Don't know how true that is, but it is what it is. I'm glad OBJ is free. Wouldn't be surprised if somehow he finds his way on an NFC West team, because it seems like the NFC West just knows how their way. NFC West just know how to find these guys. So here's looking at you. He might end up at the Niners, which was an original trade destination before he got traded to the Browns, right? Until David Gettleman fumbled that bag.
We know he is a fan of Bill Belichick.
He's a fan of Bill. We could see him over there in New England. Maybe him and Matt Jones might hook up. But if this man ended up in Arizona.
No, they got too many.
Listen.
You can't afford them.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You guys can't afford them. We did have this conversation, you and I, offline. This is true. So stay tuned, folks, for more on the OBJ Chronicles. And once again, happy birthday, OBJ. 29. Feels like he's been around forever. Other NFL news. Folks were looking forward to watching the Chiefs further decline as they face the Packers this week. And lo and behold, was it Tuesday? It was Wednesday. Wednesday of this week, news comes out that Aaron Rodgers will not be participating in the game. Mr. AR-12, who seemed to be on a revenge tour this season to prove to everyone, including his Green Bay Packers, that he's still that guy, that he's still a bad man. And what happened? Why is he not participating in the game this week? You might ask. What would keep up? Is he injured? Is he? He's pretty durable. Health and safety protocol. Huh? Health and safety protocol? What's that code for? That is code for the man contracted COVID-19. But I thought he was vaccinated. We all thought he was vaccinated. I'm going to leave it at that. Abe, I would like to hear from you. Aaron Rodgers, AR-12, COVID, but allegedly he was vaccinated, but it came out that he
is immunized. I have to say that three times because it's just like, so you're just not going to tell us whether you vax or not. Which, hey, look, we spoke about the Kyrie situation. And I said that I understand why people may not want to vax. As long as you do your due research, that's all I ask. And you make your decision based off that. Don't make your decision based off of like, oh my gosh, the government is trying to microchip us. Because at this point, everybody's on their phone. Everybody's on social media. You know how quick it is for people to find other people on Twitter? You know how many people have been found out on Twitter? You remember the you remember the January 6th riots? And how the FBI was like, oh, you know, well, we need help finding these people. If you let us know, blah, blah, blah. Like, okay, FBI, you guys are struggling, huh? No, well, let Twitter do its work. And Twitter found every single person, their home address, their work address. Bro, it was their social media pages. It was crazy. So,
bro, that the government, was wild for sure.
Yeah, the government don't need to microchip nobody. So, let's drop that out. But I will reiterate, I understand, especially when Black people and people of color show hesitancy, because the American healthcare system has not been kind to people like us. It has never been kind to people like us. So I understand. If that's where your fear comes from, I understand. All I ask is that you just follow the mandates. Wear a mask. That's cool. Oh, at this point, just wear a mask. So AR-12 said that he's immunized, meaning he is not vaccinated, and he has not been wearing a mask at all, because the NFL requires you to wear a mask when you're in team facilities if you're not vaxxed. We can see numerous pregame, postgame interview press conferences where he's just walking in no mask, right? He is willingly endangering not only his teammates, but also the reporters and staff members. Now, here's the funny thing. Was watching First Take. Osan, you pointed me to the First Take the other day.
Man.
And Stephen A. Smith was talking about the situation. Stephen A. Smith, who has been a stark critic of one Kyrie Irving, when it came to AR-12. You know, he's a big fan of AR-12. He's always been a big fan. Anybody who's watched First Take or ESPN knows that Stephen A. Smith loves him some Aaron Rodgers. When the news broke out, it went from Kyrie is selfish, Kyrie is making excuses, Kyrie has a history of not holding himself accountable, to, man, I hate it had to be my guy. If reports are true about Aaron Rodgers, I'm going to be so disappointed. Bro, that is two distinct styles of approaching a similar situation. Two distinct styles. And I'm not saying that Stephen A. is the only one. Oh, by far, he's not the only one. But he has been one of the loudest ones to constantly talk about it. I mean, I remember watching opening night of the NBA. It was Nets versus Bucks. Stephen A. Smith, Michael Wilbon, and Jalen Rose. They're talking about their thoughts on the Nets, thoughts on the Bucks before the season. They all, of course, have to talk about the Kyrie situation because Kyrie's not vaxxed and whatnot. Stephen A. had strong words for him then. And so I'm like, all right, let me, Osan put me on. Let me actually go and watch First Take and see what this guy's talking about. So he's on First Take with Jay Williams. And Jay Williams called him out. He said, look, Stephen A., I was here when you talked about it. And it's yes, I understand you're not happy with what A-Rod did and yada yada, but the venom, the vitriol that you had for Kyrie is very different from how you're addressing Aaron Rodgers. And I'm just asking for the same energy. Ladies and gentlemen, you got to understand, when it comes to the Olsen 8 pod, we here, we're all about same energy. There have been times where we've been wrong. Like, hey, the Bengals? Oh, I was wrong. They got their asses tapped by Mike White.
Oh, yeah.
For Mike White to then turn around, he got hurt, and the Jets to get tapped by Indianapolis. Joe Burrow is still my guy, but that Bengals team is, you know what? I did say that they're not there yet. They're kind of ahead of schedule. Next year, I fully expect them to be strongly in the mix of the playoffs. But this year, they could probably make wild card. If they do, you know, that's a pleasant surprise for me. But I still, you know, I was hesitant to say that they've arrived. Where was that same energy from Stephen A. Smith? Dog, one man lied to his employers, to his teammates, to possibly, you know what? I won't even say the organization because I do believe, you know what? I rescind that. One man lied to the people. I'm looking at the NFL. I'm looking at the Packers. Oh, they were complicit. Oh, they were definitely complicit. Let's not, for those who are like, oh, well, you know, the NFL, they wouldn't allow that. Yes, they would. The NFL has such a terrible track record when it comes to matters of controversy. Terrible track record where you every time something big has happened, we find out that the NFL has tried to sweep it under the rug. That was their first move. But then, oh, wait, all of a sudden, videotape surfaces, and now they have to address it. We look at the Ray Rice situation. Let's take it back to the Ray Rice situation. They knew what happened. They didn't say a word until we saw video of the elevator incident. And then what happened? Ray Rice got punished. Okay. Kareem Hunt. We knew about that situation. The league knew. But then video came out. Dog, they knew about Aaron Rodgers not being vaxxed. They just didn't want to say anything. Because, I mean, Aaron Rodgers, he's a generational talent. He's a guy that brings in money. And I'm a fan of Aaron Rodgers. Don't get me wrong. Aaron Rodgers has always been a man who speaks his mind, shares his thoughts, and he's a man of the people, you know? But this was a stupid, stupid, terrible mistake by him, by the league, by Green Bay. But my biggest issue and what Stephen A. Smith used to justify why he came at Kyrie so strongly is because he said, well, Kyrie has a history of not holding himself accountable. Kyrie has a history of making excuses. And I'm like, So we allow Kyrie's past to dictate his current actions. Even though throughout this whole situation, he's been pretty much quiet about it. You know, he wasn't out there saying that, hey, I ain't gonna get vaxxed. Forget all that. He ain't say nothing like that. He ain't make a big hoopla. He was just like, well, you know, if I gotta be away from the team, I gotta be away from the team. I mean, just look at it. The last 2 years, everything that he's done, does that scream a man who doesn't have accountability, a man who is selfish? Was he not donating money to the WNBA because of their financial situation during the height of the pandemic?
Show did to help cover player salaries.
Did he not work with his sister to release Signature Shoe? And Show where did. Proceeds went to women and women athletes? Does he not, even in Brooklyn, hold fundraisers, food drives for the community? You know, he may not be playing right now, but it's not like he's sitting at home doing nothing. Kyrie has been consistent when it comes to community relations, when it comes to things outside of basketball. Because, again, also, how many times have we said it? We wouldn't be surprised if Kyrie were going to walk away from the sport of the game before he hits the age of 30. Because we've realized that it's more than basketball for him. It always has been, honestly. It always has been. But how come Kyrie is getting all this slander, getting slander from Kingdom Come, as if he out here killed somebody, as if he's out here lying to people, as if he's out here pretending to be doing something that he's not? But everybody else who does that, oh, yeah, no, oh, my goodness, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Oh my goodness, I'm so surprised. How could they do such a thing? Oh, you know what? We should give them grace. We should forgive them. Get that boat. You know what? We're going to have another Drew Brees situation if you don't get on this mic, bro. We're going to have another Drew job. I ain't trying to get nobody's job in trouble. You feel me? I'm going to mute my mic.
You funny for that. Listen, y'all. I feel like the subtitle of this episode should be KTSE. Keep that same energy. That's all we're saying, y'all. Listen, Stephen A, like, you went hard at Kyrie. And then it comes out with this man, AR-12. I get it, you like him, but let's keep a buck, right? Whether you like someone or not, backtrack. And I think this is, once again, social commentary moment, right? We have a hard time having complicated relationships in our time, right? Doing two things at once, chewing gum and walking, right? Yes, you can like Aaron Rodgers as a football player, phenomenal athlete, say what you want, but also you can criticize him for a moment like this, not that deep. You can be annoyed at Kyrie being a contrarian and some of his stances, but you can also appreciate his genius on the court and the work that he's done from a social aspect for looking out for others and for his fellow players. We can do both. And like you said, Abe, Kyrie's been largely mute this entire time. He hasn't been out there in these streets acting a hot plum fool and parading around and saying, oh man, you know, I'm going to take this stand and I'm going to continue taking this stand. No. Said what he said, made his decision, and is going to continue to do what he does. Man, it's not that deep, y'all. It's really not that deep. The Wahala continues. Moving along, Abe. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about this, and I think maybe we can wrap after this. The Phoenix Suns. The Phoenix Suns investigation came out this week that, full investigation has just started, but an article released by Baxter Holmes of ESPN detailing, after many conversations that he had with current and former employees of the Phoenix Suns, that owner Robert Sarver, who bought the team in 2004, make comments and help foment an environment of misogyny, toxicity, with a splash, of course, of racism. Ooh, this one's deep. There are people who are saying this might be Donald Sterling 2.0, which...
Nah, that's a whole nother level, dog.
This is a whole nother level, but I think here's the tricky part about it that I think is going to determine all. If you look at the Donald Sterling situation, because here's the thing I think most people miss, Abe. In order for someone to give up ownership, because that's the first thing people will rush to, got to force him to give up his ownership. Adam Silver can't do anything about that. The commissioner can't do anything about that. It has to be a vote by the owners, the rest of the owners, okay? Let's just be real. Of the owners in the NBA, unless there is some evidence out there, because this is what turned the tide with the Donald Sterling situation. People knew for years that Donald Sterling was a hot mess. People knew for years this dude was wild. But it finally took that recording by his mistress for folks to finally say, we can't touch this one. You gots to go. Even after, because Adam Silver had banned him for life, then it was finally the owners who voted for him to give up his ownership stake in the Clippers. I'll be honest, I don't think that's going to happen with this situation with Sarver. Unless there's a smoking gun out there, I don't think that's going to happen with this situation. However, I do believe there's a possibility for him to be banned for life. But backtracking a little bit, though, because statements have come out by three crucial members of the Phoenix Suns, their coach Monty Williams, Players Association, former Players Association President Chris Paul and a member of the Phoenix Suns, and also other member of the Phoenix Suns, rising star Devin Booker. And they all pretty much said the same thing. Let's wait for the investigation to finish before we rush to any sort of judgment. Monty Williams even went as far as to say this, that if he believed that there was any hint of this within the organization, he wouldn't be there. Fair, I guess. There are some who have said that there should have been stronger language used by Monty Williams, Chris Paul, and Devin Booker to condemn some of the statements that were made. But all in all, this is a messy situation. Hey, what were your first impressions, bro, as you read the story? Because you and I shot you the story yesterday, and I was like, bro, I guess this has to be added to the docket for recording tomorrow. What were your first impressions as you read through?
Well, first, word to Baba Funke, because he told us about the possible investigation and rumors surrounding him a month or so ago. And then you shared that was my first, like, direct piece of information regarding the situation that you shared with us in the chat yesterday. Dog. I'm not going to sit here and be oblivious and ignorant thinking that there aren't owners who are racist and whatnot. I mean, we gotta understand something. A lot of these owners are from the older generation who have very particular views of Black athletes and Black people in general. It is what it is. For those of you who are listening and you're like, oh, wait, hold on. No. Let's stop playing. There are owners out there who just look at Black athletes as just commodities. How can you make me money? You feel me? The Don Sterling situation happened. That was wild. But I couldn't say I was surprised. Got him up out the paint. Steve Ballmer comes in. He changes the culture of the Clippers. Shout out to Paul George, who's just doing the damn thing right now this season without a Kawhi Leonard. Pandemic P is showing that he can actually carry a team right now. We appreciate you. But what my man's from, not what is coming out of Phoenix is appalling. Am I surprised by him using racist, making racist comments? Nope. But hearing him tell staff that they need to get local strippers around these NBA players so the strippers can get impregnated and give basketball players a reason to stay in Phoenix? Bro. Oh, so you said it best. That is slave plantation mentality right there. Not you out here trapping basketball players just so they can play for you. Not you using sex workers as pawns on a chessboard, as a means to an end. Not you using children as tools of entrapment. Dog. That John was so disgusting. That John was so disgusting to read. And you're right, because it's just rumors. You know, we live in a society where sports leagues are reactionary, but they're only reactionary when they get caught. They don't like to make moves until it's kind of too late. Looking at you, NFL. NBA is a little bit better than that, but they still guilty. I'm looking at Chris Paul, who's a big family man. I want to know what he thinks of the situation. Because mind you, mind you, sports analysts will spend so much time talking about Kyrie, talking about Ben Simmons,
But all of a sudden, it's like, well, you know, hopefully the Suns can, you know, just focus on basketball right now. This is distraction. You know, we have to wait and see. Oh! What's the difference between all three situations? Kyrie's a black man. Ben Simmons is a black man. And the owner of the Suns is not. I'm just saying there's a common denominator here, isn't there? I don't see just as saying. Much vitriol. I don't see as much disgust. I don't see as much coverage about what's going on in Phoenix. Everybody's like, yeah, yeah, hopefully we can focus on basketball. Y'all wasn't trying to focus on basketball when it came to Ben Simmons. Y'all definitely weren't trying to focus on basketball when it came to Kyrie Irving. Oh, but yeah, let's focus on basketball now. Let's reserve judgment. Nah, I want that same fucking energy. Don't be out here toe-tapping. What is it? It's not jazz. Tiptoeing. Yeah. Don't be out here tiptoeing around this situation. Nah, give that same damn energy. Because what's going on in Phoenix right now is a disgrace. It is disgusting. It shows you exactly how people of color are viewed in this world. People like to say, well, racism doesn't exist, you know. I don't see color. I see everybody's the same. Okay, so how come they're not being treated as such? Why is there such a distinct disparity between the two? Throughout this entire episode, what has been the common denominator about the people we've talked about and the energy they've been given? Henry Ruggs being called a thug, black man. OBJ being called wash, being called a distraction. Basically saying like, oh, blah, 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 this, that, and the other. Black man. Kyrie Irving getting all types of vitriol and smoke. Black man. Aaron Rodgers being looked at as, well, you know, what is the league going to do? Oh, my goodness, I'm surprised that he lied. Oh, my goodness, I'm so disappointed. White man. Phoenix, owner of the Phoenix Suns. Racist, misogynistic, manipulative. Oh, well, we got to wait and see. Let's focus on basketball for the time being. White man. I don't care if you listen to this and you're like, oh, I can't believe Abraham is signifying that there's racist ideologies being put in place here that, you know, we Abe, let it go. It's 2021. Look at what we've done for the black community. Look at what we've done for the people of color. It's November of 2021. We started off January with white people storming the White House and Capitol Hill. That's how we started the year. We had last summer the riots over the unjust killing of the aggressive killing of black men and black women. Every year, you can see the aggressive, unjust killing of a black man, a black woman, a person of color. Don't you dare fix your lips or fix your fingers and tell me racism does not exist. Don't you dare fix your lips or fix your fingers and tell me that prejudice doesn't exist. Don't you dare fix your fingers or fix your lips telling me that there's no oppression in this day and age. Hey, I'm glad it's not as apparent as it used to be during slave times and during the Jim Crow era. But it doesn't mean that it's still not existing and it's happening on a covert level. Honestly, it's not even covert anymore. We're going to be real. It's not covert. It's back to being overt. Like, you can see it in plain sight. Keep that same energy. Keep that same damn energy.
You know, I mentioned this, I think, in the previous segment. We can do two things at once, right? We can do hard things. I would even go further to say this. I've heard said like this, that the tension is in the truth. Like, truth creates tension. So for those who want to shy away from the truth in some of these matters because it makes you feel uncomfortable. There's the tension there. But here's the beautiful thing about tension, right? You need tension for certain things, right? You need tension to build strength, right? When you're setting up right stakes in the ground to and line to connect it to something, like, you need tension. You can't have any slack. Why? Because slack in there will create weakness. And I think for when I look at this country and the state of this country, of our society, we shy away from the tension because it's uncomfortable, and we'd rather slack off into our corners of comfort instead of having these hard conversations. So when I look at a situation like this with Robert Sarver, owner of the Suns, there's some real tension here. I wouldn't be surprised even, because folks are a little extreme. Came out last week that PETA is asking Major League Baseball to change the name of the space where relief pitchers warm up from a bullpen to an arm barn.
I forgot about PETA, yo. Oh, my goodness, dog. Oh, nah, B. Hold on. We got to talk about
bro,
PETA.
Bro,
yo,
I'll let you
bro.
take that tangent.
Bro. PETA. Dog, what fight are y'all fighting right now? I don't know what this organization is about anymore. I thought PETA was about taking care of animals and giving them humane treatment, you know, not using them as commodities anymore, not abusing them. What the hell is calling the area where relief pitchers and pitchers warm up a bullpen? How is that negatively impacting your mission statement? Is a pig going to have a stroke hearing that? Oh, and in tonight's game, when the Mets are in the World Series, we have Jacob DeGrom coming out of the bullpen right now in the last inning with the Mets up 4-3 on the Yankees in Game 7. And a pig is going to be like, oh my gosh, Jacob, oink, oink, DeGrom, oink. And he's coming out the bullpen, oink, oink. My rights, oink, oink. Oh, I'm having a stroke, oink, oink. Boy, if you don't fry that pig up and make me some bacon right now. Every time I hear about PETA right now, I'm just like, I want to say some really strong words. But I also understand we are a family podcast. So I will refrain from really, really disrespecting PETA. But if they don't get the hell out of here, they're becoming a joke of an organization now. They really are becoming a joke of an organization. I had to block them on Twitter because I don't want to see anything about PETA no more. They aren't fighting the good fight. Whatever that fight is nowadays, I have no idea. That John, take over. Boy.
Family podcast, but there will be an explicit content warning on this episode. It is what it is. So PETA talking about an arm barn because it'll be offensive to cows. Anyhow, so here I think the other extreme we might hear, and folks will attribute this to a certain whatever political ideology. I quite frankly don't care. I don't align with either side. I could see folks calling for, and I think this call came out even last year, the year prior, or maybe around the time of the Donald Sterling stuff, for owners of sports teams, particularly the NBA, to no longer be called owners, right? To give them another moniker because it implies that they own the players. Honestly, though, like I mentioned to you yesterday, as we read through the Sarver article, plantation mentality. When you hear the language of someone like a Donald Sterling and hear the stuff he used to say about players, Darius Miles, I heard him say this in, I think it was an interview or maybe it was his podcast that he does with Quentin Richardson. So there was a time, there was a moment they were in the locker room together one time. It's after a game or after a practice, I'm sorry, and they're taking a shower. And here comes Donald Sterling with a couple of his friends. I think some of them were fellow NBA owners. And he comes in with this giant fur coat. He says, look at all my beautiful boys, look at all these beautiful black boys. Huh? They're over here showering and all that. You showing them off like they're auction items? Come on, man. There's real tension in this time and in this moment. Because, and this goes back to what I said at the top of this entire episode, this entire conversation, until we begin to look at athletes, and not just athletes, but each other as human beings, not looking at each other based on what we do for a living, but based on who we are as humans, essentially, we will continue to treat each other in such a foul way. To look at a fellow human being and treat them like they're just a piece of property. To look at a fellow human being and treat them just based on what they do. The top of the season, we saw an incident with Rajon Rondo and a fan. The fan was being disrespectful. And this continues to happen time and time again because folks don't know the lines and the boundaries. And here we are with Robert Sarver, this environment that he allegedly created. These are strong accusations, right? Where there's, what's the saying? Where there's smoke, there's often fire. These are strong accusations of what things that happen. A good chunk of them came for Earl Watson, respected figure. I remember growing up watching Earl Watson play for UCLA Bruins, and then he had his tenure in the NBA starting with the Seattle Supersonics. Please bring a basketball team back to Seattle, y'all. And I know that one put Devin Booker in a tough place because Devin Booker respects and looks up to Earl Watson. He was the coach at the time when Devin Booker got drafted by the team. These are very real things. And instead of just brushing them aside and saying, well, that's just the way it's always going to be, let us keep that same energy, lean into the tension, and be willing to have the hard conversations. For every situation that we talked about today, there are moments where you could look and say, there are things that you could look and say that are good about the individual. And about the situation in question, we can look and say that they're bad. But the biggest question in all of it is this: what are we going to do as a people to care for one another and to help see the best in one another and bring out the best in one another? Henry Ruggs needs somebody in his corner right now. I'm glad Derek Carr is the one to say he'll do it. Odell Beckham Jr., glad you're free finally. Folks say, why would you use the term free? They had this man, for all intents and purposes, locked up. Did not abide by his wishes.
He was in Alcatraz.
Alcatraz, Cleveland. That's where this man was at. But I really hope there'd be people in his corner and people who would look and say, man, OBJ, you're not the guy that we saw in New York. Well, really, New Jersey. Like you've changed. You've matured. You've grown up. And I really hope he lands at a place where he can win a title. I hope he can be like Antonio Brown and get his ring. Aaron Rodgers, Kyrie Irving. Aaron Rodgers, easily one of the best quarterbacks I've ever seen in my life. But on this one, yo, you messed up, Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, I was all for you getting traded this offseason, and I still believe it needs to happen. He don't really want to be there in Green Bay, but he's a competitor, so he's going to win. You messed up on this one. You did. Kyrie Irving, y'all can say what you want to say, and we've been critical of Kyrie Irving on this program, but I will say this. Kyrie Irving is going to stay true to himself, right, wrong, and different. Keep that same energy when it comes to the conversation around both of them. Here we are, this conversation around Robert Sarver. The environment that he created. Here's the other thing we didn't throw in there as well with this conversation. Due to the misogyny, there were women who worked for the team, worked in that front office, who said they were suicidal because of the environment that was created in that time. That's serious, y'all. What are we going to do to care for the mental health of each other as well? This month right now that we're in, November, is Men's Mental Health Month. Okay. And I know we brought up the women. And yes, they need care. But in everything we just talked about, we don't know the mental health of individuals. What's Henry Ruggs' mental health going to look like? on the other side of this. Odell Beckham's mental health. You can tell he's a pretty emotional human being as it is, but what's his mental health look like in this time? Kyrie Irving, what's his looking like? These players who walk through what they walk through with the Suns and endured some of these things, what's their mental health going to look like? Y'all, we got to do better. We have to do better. There is a better way than this. And that is what we will always, always promote. And in these moments when we get up on our soapbox here at OSNA, we'll always preach from our soapbox. Y'all, there's a better way. We got to care for each other better. We got to care for our communities better. Before you ever scream that there needs to be change in the White House or Capitol Hill or whatever, like, be the change in your community, because that's where it starts. So y'all, though this episode is titled Wahala Soon Comes, subtitle, keep that same energy, for every bit of Wahala, if you lean into the tension, there's a worthwhile bit of gold to be found. You just lean in. That being said, y'all, that concludes another episode of the OSNA podcast presented to you by SSAW. Y'all, to keep up with everything going in the SSAW universe with the family, you know, SSAW takeover, y'all, head on over to the website tssaw.com. Again, that's tssaw.com. If you want to hit me and Abe direct, you can hit us at osa.abepodcast@gmail.com. And as always, our newest little vehicle of mischief, Twitter. Hey, what's the Twitter handle?
OSA_Abe Podcast. I repeat, OSA_Abe Podcast. Find us on Twitter. You know, we active there. We love talking with everybody. We love tweeting. Shout out to all y'all. For real.
Yes, sir. I need to be more active on there. I be thinking of stuff and I'm like, and I forget that I'm low key. We on there, so I need to be more active. If y'all start to see some stuff come up on our Twitter account, you know who to attribute it to. But as always, y'all, you know the slogan: one thing, two words, get that in your brain. Omo,
my job.